Now, if we would turn then to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this morning we're going to begin those verses from verse 14 to the end of the chapter, but reading from verse 1 once again. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. Amen. May God bless his word. In these few verses of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we begin to look at this morning, we have one of the scripture's great statements concerning itself and regarding itself. That statement, of course, reaches its height in the words of verse 16, where it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and so on. And all you have to do is even glance at words like that, and it's inescapable that this is one of the Bible's great definitive statements about itself, given from the Lord our God concerning the word that he himself has also given to us. So in the course of those verses, you have the author of the scriptures, you have the very method and means that that author, who is God himself, employed in giving us that scripture, and you have the great purpose or the great end in view for which God gave the scriptures to us in the first place. So whenever we think in terms of the word of God, then such a statement as this, as is contained in this chapter of 2 Timothy, should determine all our understanding of what the word of God is, how the word of God came to us, what the word of God is meant to do. It is the word of Almighty God. It has been given by inspiration of Almighty God, it says. And it has that great purpose, if you like, of conforming us onto the image of the God who has saved our souls through Jesus Christ, his Son. You remember what our Savior said on one occasion? He said that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but he says, my word shall not pass away. And in a very real sense, if you had no other words concerning the scriptures apart from these words in 2 Timothy, then these words would really do for us to stand on all the days of our life, or to fall back on all the days of our life concerning the scriptures of God. That's not the case, of course. And throughout the Scriptures of God, you have many statements from the Scriptures, in the Scriptures, concerning the Scriptures. And over the next couple of weeks or so, going to look at how all of these things do dovetail together to give us that great assurance to our hearts that we have that on which we can stand and can rely and can depend all the days of our life. Now, that's the case then in this closing part of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. As I say, the actual statement concerning the Scriptures, the inspiration, the author, and so forth, that comes especially in verse 16 and the verse that follows. But at the same time, if you follow out the order of the verses, then you'll see that everything that goes before has something to say to us concerning the Word of God, concerning the Scriptures of God. And so for this morning, we're going to look at the first of the two verses, verses 14 and 15. Then next time, we'll look at the statement itself, and then we'll go on to see what is God's great aim and view in giving His people His Word to live by and to stand on all the days of their life. Now, have a look at the two verses in the overall, if you like, to begin with, verses 14 and 15. But, says Paul to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you see, in a sense, that these verses for this week, my friends, are very similar to those verses that we had last week concerning the Lord's Apostle Paul, concerning the manner of life that he lived, concerning the sufferings and the persecutions that he entered into as the servant of God in the cause of the gospel. And as we said last week, those verses that we looked at are really one of those short biographical notes of the Word of God concerning God's servants. In that case, the servant Paul himself, the Lord's Apostle Paul himself. But as we said, never are any of those biographical notes about God's people given in a vacuum. They're always given for a purpose. They're always given to teach us something. And very, very often, within the short biographical note, if you like, you find embedded some great truth or some great truths that God wants us to know and wants us to live in the course of our life. And so within that short biographical note concerning the Lord's Apostle Paul, you remember, you had those great joint truths of the perseverance of God's people in the life of faith that God has called them to, and the providence of God that aids them and leads them on in that persevering life. You remember, for as we said, when Paul says to his younger companion in the gospel, but thou hast fully known my manner of life, doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, and so on. And then he's pointing him up to the fact that by God's grace, he had persevered in the life of faith. He's coming near the end of his life. He's soon going to receive that crown of righteousness that he speaks about in the final chapter. He's nearing his martyrdom. But he's wanting to convey to Timothy that God's grace has kept them and has enabled him to persevere on to the end and to enter into the salvation that is laid up for him by faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. So it's the truth of the perseverance of the saints, not just a note about Paul's life, but it's the life that has been lived by faith in Jesus Christ the Lord, and which he has continued to live by the grace of God given to him. And then when he comes to speak about those sufferings that came upon him at Antioch and Iconium and so on, and then when he says, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Then, my friends, he's pointing Timothy up to the fact that God in all his providence and love and mercy keeps his people right on to the end in order that they are saved. All the providence of God that worked together in delivering and keeping and sustaining grace, all of those things worked together to bring us to God at last. So that's simply telling something about his life. That would be interesting enough. But my friends, under the Holy Spirit of God, you see, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so those Scriptures being given by inspiration of God, their purpose isn't simply to tell us about people, it's to tell us about God himself. And God in those people, no doubt, but in those people to see the grace of God operative in their life, in that case, in persevering grace, in providential mercy and love, so that he now comes to the end of his life and knows, as he says, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, and now there is laid up a crown of righteousness for me. So, it's not just a biographical note. Biographical note it is, but embedded in the biographical note, truth, great truth that we're to embrace to our hearts and souls. Now, it's exactly the same, you see, with these two verses 14 and 15. Most assuredly, as you can see, what you have is another biographical note, not concerning Paul this time, but concerning Timothy himself. And you see, when Paul goes away back there, even to Timothy's childhood, you're given a lovely insight into Timothy's childhood in his home in the town of Lystra, under his grandmother Lois, under his mother Eunice, and all of those things that are set out before us there in that verse 14 and verse 15. But just like Paul's note, my friends, it's to teach us truth. Great truth of God, and so embed it within the biographical note concerning Timothy is the great truth of what? The great truth, my friends, of the word of the eternal God. You see, when he comes to make that great definitive statement in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of Almighty God, that statement is the outcropping of what he has already said in verse 14 and 15 to his young friend Timothy. You can't miss that, surely, for a minute. But he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. When he speaks about the things, what does he mean? He means what he means in the next verse, the Holy Scriptures, he says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And he's taking Timothy back to how he was reared up in the house in Lystra, under Lois and under Eunice, and how he learned the Scriptures of Almighty God. But it's not simply a biographical note. It's to tell us something about those Scriptures of Almighty God. How dependable they are, how valid they are, how effectual they are in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God to bring to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. That's what happened to Timothy. And that's what Paul is reminding Timothy about. He's pointing him back indeed to some point in his life and to the continuance of his life. But he's pointing him back to the effectualness of God's word in his life. And when he does that, then he says, now, Timothy, this also, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's that way that we're to view it, my friends, in the overall, not just a biographical note, but within the wee bit of biography, if you like, that great truth now emerging, just as perseverance and providence in the other bit, now it's a great truth that in our hands we have that which God has given for the good of our souls forever and evermore. Now there are three elements then within that overall view of the verses. First of all, Paul reminds Timothy of the communication of that word that he enjoyed. then he reminds him of the conviction concerning that word that he entered into. And then, of course, you have the continuation in that word that he is exhorted to. He reminds him about the communication of the word that he enjoyed, the conviction of the word that he entered into, and then the continuation of the word in which he is to endeavor all the days of his life. So let's just take up those 3 points, and the Lord be with us in the application of them. The communication of the Word of God that Timothy enjoyed. And with that, of course, you do come to the heart of that biographical aspect of the verses. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And you see, it's a kind of picture, my friends, that immediately conjures up before our eyes those early days, especially of the Lord's servant Timothy, now at this point in his life. When he speaks about those of whom thou hast learned these things, various people, no doubt, the Apostle Paul himself. Paul had taught Timothy many, many things. As he said earlier on, continue in the things that thou hast learned of me, that thou hast known from me. But when he's speaking here about his childhood, surely there are two people especially that Paul is reminding Timothy about, and that's those two women in Timothy's life. Eunice, his mother, and before that, Lois, his grandmother. You remember what he has said in the first chapter of the epistle? He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The unfeigned faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, then in thy mother Eunice. And when the Lord's apostle now says, Timothy, continue in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, he's assuredly, my friends, pointing him up especially to his grandmother, to his mother, and how they lived before that young man, continuing those things, he says, and bear in mind of whom thou hast learned those things. And he's speaking about those who communicated something to Timothy. Communicated what to Timothy? The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, he says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And if you take the two main parties in that word, you see the application to the two main parties, my friends, in any kind of an association like that even today. You see, you younger people, you children, you see, this man, Timothy, who came to be a servant of God, well, when he was growing up, his mother and his grandmother taught him the Word of God. They told him about the things that God said in his Word, about the truth of God's Word. And you realize this, young person, that sometimes it can seem to be very painful to you that you have to be told things from the Bible, when very often isn't it the case? When you say something, I want to do this, or I want to do that, or I think this, or I think that, and your mother or your father, your mother and your father, they come back and they say, ah, but it says in the Bible. That can be very irksome, can't it? Very painful. But you see, we have to do that because that's what God says has to be done. And it has to be done for many, many good reasons. But you see the reason especially that Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother told Timothy the things from the Bible that they did when he was a child is the same reason why Christian parents today tell their children the things that they do tell them. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. The whole issue of salvation, let me tell you this, young person, that when you're told things from the Bible, those things, if you do them, can help you even in this life. They can keep you from a lot of dangers. A lot of dangers in this life. A lot of people who make an awful mess of their life. All you have to do is look around and you can see the streets of Inverness full of people who have made a mess of their life. So when they tell you the things out of God's word, those things in God's word are to tell you how to live now, even safely, to live safely now. Of course, when it speaks about making you wise to know salvation, it's speaking about eternal things. It's speaking about your soul that will never, ever die. Speaking about the judgment of God. Speaking about when people have to stand before God. And the one thing above all others, surely, that a Christian parent wants for his child or her child is their child's soul salvation. And when Eunice and Lois too persevered with Timothy in their life, surely they had one thing in view, and that one thing in view that they had was the salvation of Timothy's soul. And in that work then they went on, and it's that young person, especially that that you're to think about, it's your soul, it's the salvation of your soul. And from the other side, my friends, don't you get a tremendous picture of those two women? As I say, we don't know who else was involved, but those two especially. The things that thou hast learned and been assured of from a child, from an infant, literally that reads. And from an infant, those two women had, well, they had done something and been something. That's the point. He speaks about the things you have learned, and he speaks about of whom you learned. And both of those things set before us a tremendous blend in the Christian life that each and every one of us should humbly endeavor to strive for before any before whom we live in the cause of the gospel. The things, of course, as I say, the Holy Scriptures. They didn't tell Timothy anything else. That doesn't mean they didn't tell him other things that he needed to know with regards to life. But when it came to the things of salvation, my friends, they didn't tell Timothy some of their own ideas or their own views or their own notions. They taught him out of the Word of God what God said concerning salvation. Not what men said, not what people said, but what God said. Those things that thou hast known, he says, from a child. And constantly, consistently, they brought before Timothy the word of the eternal God. We're not to do anything other. When it comes to salvation, what we're to present before our children or before any are the things of the Holy Scriptures of God. But you see, it wasn't only that, surely. And when he says, Timothy, the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, then most assuredly, my friends, the Lord's Apostle Paul is pressing Timothy up to the witness and the testimony of Eunice and Lois as they took the word of God. So that it wasn't a bare exercise of chuntering out what the Bible said concerning things. It was that measure of consistency in the lives of those who endeavored to teach the things of the Word of God to that young child and that young boy and that young man as he grew up. Now, we're not perfect, and sometimes isn't it the case, my friends? All we get is one falling down. And we begin to reprove ourselves and whip ourselves. Well, we fall down. Of course we fall down. But if by the grace of God we endeavor to live as consistently as redeemed fallen creatures can live, then that's all that the Lord requires of us. And this also. Even when we do fall down, my friends, what a great opportunity to show the grace of God in our lives, the grace of humility given in the gospel in our lives. To be able to acknowledge that we're wrong, that we've gone off the track, that we shouldn't have done that or shouldn't have said that. When we endeavor to live before people in the light of God's word, do it honestly. Do it honestly. And right across the board, honestly, as unto God and before others. But not just to tell our children that the Bible speaks about honesty and integrity and devotion to God and service to God. Don't just tell our children those things. Show them those things. show them those things in our lives. And when Paul here reminds Timothy of the communication that was granted to him and which he enjoyed, it's the fullness of that communication, my friends, not only in what was communicated, but the manner of the lives of those who communicated those things. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so he is, and as I say, a lesson for us on whichever side of that double-edged truth we stand, my friends, a lesson for any of us, a lesson for children, a lesson for young people, that your parents, if they're Christian parents, my young friend, child, they're seeking your salvation. They want to see you living right now in this life, and they want to see your soul saved from hell forever and evermore. And as parents, my friends, God give us the grace, or as any who endeavor to live a testifying life in the gospel, God give us the grace to do it consistently and honestly before him. So then he says, Timothy, continue in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, and so on. Now, that's not the whole story, of course. So look at the verses again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Learned and being assured of. And assured of, my friends, simply means convinced or convicted. And so the Lord's Apostle Paul is not only reminding him of the communication that he enjoyed as a child and a young person, he's reminding him also of the conviction that he came into concerning those scriptures of God. In other words, my friends, Paul is reminding Timothy of that glorious day when these letters and words in that book, or that scroll as it would have been in his case, when suddenly they flashed with light. That's what he's saying. Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. And oh, my young friend, you see, it's at that point where you realize that those things that your father and mother are saying, they're not just words, but they are the word of God, the word of eternal life, the thing that brings you to salvation. You know how one of the old Puritans put it once, my friends? This book, he says, is not just a history, he says, it's God's love letter to his people. And you see, my friends, that's what determines a living soul. That's the difference. That's the essential difference between a person who has some religiosity and a person who has been born again of the Spirit of God. It's how they look at God's Word. What is it? Collection of stories? My friends, it's more than that. That it truly is for our good. But it's God speaking to us. In all his love, in all his mercy, in all his salvation to our souls. See, there's three elements. The things thou hast learned, he says, the things thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And it's the middle one, it's the hub that he's speaking about then when he speaks about the things that you have been assured of, the things that you've been convinced about, the things that you have been convicted about. And of course, that conviction has brought him to the heart of what those things, what those Holy Scriptures speak about. And from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, he says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Ah, you see. He came to that point where he was able to say, this isn't just the story of the children of Israel being brought out of Egypt. This isn't just an account of the creation of the world. This isn't just the story of the prophets. This hasn't got to do with Daniel and those three men in the fiery furnace. This makes you wise unto salvation. This saves your soul. This is God's agent in God's hands to save my soul from going down into hell forever and ever and ever. And how? They are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he comes right to the heart of it, my friend, you see. You learned it, Timothy. It was communicated to you faithfully, not only by word, but by walk and those who loved you in your young life. You learned it. But then you became convinced about it. And what you became convinced about was your soul's salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. And the whole of the Word of God, my friends, from beginning to end, is calculated to bring us to faith in Christ Jesus. And you see, although he is indeed, as he ought to have done, he's speaking, my friends, about those and giving them a high place who walk before Timothy in the way that they ought to have walked. But when all's said and done, you know, we can communicate the faith in word and action before our children, but only faith in Jesus Christ can bring them to salvation, or with regards to any. You remember the Bereans? You remember how Paul opened up the word of the living God to them, line upon line, precept upon precept. But they knew what they had to do. Sir, they say, we will go and search and see if these things be so. And as they did it, then it says, many believed. Many had faith. Many found salvation. Many saw Christ Jesus. So he comes to conviction, you see. One thing to learn the Bible. Learning the Bible will never, ever in and of itself bring a soul to salvation. The only thing that will bring a soul to salvation is in when that which has been learned or communicated then becomes a convincing, convicting assurance in our hearts that it speaks of salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. And when the faith is exercised in Christ Jesus, then a person passed from death unto life, from darkness into light. And you see, the whole Bible does the same, as it were, with them. So he's reminding Timothy about this word of the living God. This word of the living God, he says, which you learned, which was communicated to you. And then he says, Timothy, don't you remember of which you became convinced? Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so he's speaking about the communication of that word that he enjoyed, the conviction of that word then that he entered into, and then naturally, the continuation in that word that he comes to be exhorted to. But continue thou, he says, in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and so on. Continuing in the word of God. And my friends, there's no greater exercise, no more important exercise, no more essential, necessary exercise for those who have once become convinced of what the Word of God is, the agent to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ and salvation through that. Nothing more important then than they continue in it. And don't you see then why Paul goes to the heights? He says, Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, these holy scriptures. Then he says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you see, my friends, if we're going to endeavor to continue consistently in God's word, we must have the highest possible view of God's word. A mini view of the Bible will produce a mini life of faith. That's what he does. Timothy, you learned it to start with. You became assured of it then. Now, Timothy, continue in it. Continue in what? Continue in the Holy Scriptures. These Holy Scriptures given by inspiration of Almighty God. And oh, my friends, unless we're convinced in our hearts that this whole Word of God, as we'll see next time, literally was breathed out from God, we'll never continue in the way that we're called to continue in that Word of God. Let me say this, and it's in no way a reference. The Scriptures of God are like the Spirit of God. Now, you can see why that can't in any way be irreverent, because the Holy Spirit of God in the Trinity of the Godhead, He's the person especially who is responsible for giving us the Scriptures, you see. He is the one out of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the one who is especially the author of the Word of God for us. So in no way can you say really that it's irreverent to say that the Scriptures of God is for us like the Spirit of God. And you remember what Paul said to the Galatians. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And then he goes on to say, he says, what? He says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? In other words, he's saying, look, if you began the Christian life by faith in Jesus Christ through the work of the Spirit in your life, are you going then to progress in the Christian life by doing this thing and that thing out of the old law of Israel? That's what he's saying. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going on to perfection in the works of the flesh? Of course you don't. If you begin the Christian life in the Spirit, you continue the Christian life in the Spirit. And it's the same with Scriptures. My friends, we begin the Christian life by the Word of God. And as we begin the Christian life, so we continue the Christian life. The Christian life truly begun only begins with the operations of God's Holy Spirit by God's Holy Word in our hearts. And as it begins in that fashion, so it goes on in that fashion. You know what Peter says? He says, look, you've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Now, therefore, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of that Word that ye may grow thereby. The thing that you commence the Christian life with is the thing that you continue the Christian life in. If the Word of God is that which gives you birth, the Word of God is that which gives you milk to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here you see, he's reminding him of how he commenced the Christian life. And he commenced the Christian life, my friends, in that day when he moved from what was merely a communication of God's word to his outward ear to a conviction within his heart and within his soul. Now says Paul to him, now Timothy, continue in that. Continue. Now, just enter a wee technical word there, my friends. Holy Scriptures really can be looked on as the alphabet, as the ABC, holy letters, or simply as the Old Testament Scriptures of God. And that's probably, of course, what he's pointing them up to in both ways. And when he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he is leading Timothy on to greater things. What Eunice and Lois had were essentially the Old Testament Scriptures of God. They didn't have any more than that. The New Testament Scriptures of God hadn't yet come to their fullness. But of course, the Old Testament Scriptures to the Old Testament saints, they were sufficient to bring them on to salvation by faith in that one who was to come. So he's speaking really about the Old Testament Scriptures that they had. And then when he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's speaking about the fullness of the Scriptures of God. Now, the application is this. Never forget that we stand in the blaze of the fullness of God's Word. Now, I don't know any greater privilege than that. I honestly don't know any greater privilege than that, my friends. You know how David said in his day, he said, I know more than the ancients. He wasn't boasting or bragging, he was stating a historical fact. David knew more than Moses knew. Why? Because he was further on in the history of God's redemptive purpose. He knew more of God's dealings and God's word. But my friends, we can humbly say that we know more than David did, you see. Because we've got the whole scriptures of God. It doesn't mean that we're greater than David or anything like it. But it simply means, my friends, that as David had more of the revelation of God at his time in life, we have the fullness of the revelation of God at our day of life. So that we've got all the scriptures of God that speak to us concerning Jesus Christ our Savior. And what a privilege that is. What an absolute privilege. You know, if you read about the prophets that Peter speaks about and how they wrote about the salvation which was to come, Isaiah in chapter 53, about the suffering servant of Jehovah and all the rest. And yet, you see, they wrote with a kind of partly a cloud over their eyes. And so Peter says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto us, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You see what he's saying? He's saying, look, the prophets agonized. Even as they were used of God to write those prophetic words, they searched and searched and searched, trying to see fully what it was that they were writing about. We see, my friends, we see. Like the Ethiopian eunuch to Philip, of whom does the prophet write? Of himself or some other man? And beginning at the same place, he says, Isaiah 53, he expounded unto him Jesus. You see, my friends, and when the Word of God exhorts us to continue, we've got the whole Word of God in which we can continue. And there is no greater blessing to the heart of a child of God than being assured of the Word of God. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. Assured of. And my friends, as surely as that measure of assurance that what we were being told about our salvation by faith in Christ was held on to, so the assurance of our sanctification in Christ may be continued in holding assuredly to what the Word of God will have us to know. Do you know a personal appropriation? Again, my friends, the Word of God, like the Spirit of God, the Word of God is like the Christ of God. Don't we often speak about a personal appropriation of Christ so that we can say, my Savior, my Shepherd, my Lord? Well, my friends, you see, what you have to do is you have to be able to come like David and say, Lord, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the way that comes about is by being assured that it is the word of the eternal God. And so you see, my friends, in whatever we're called to, whatever, Why should we stand fast in these days in which we live? Note the context in which Paul speaks these words. It is that context of perilous times, the last days, all the rest of it. You see, verse 13 really belongs to the immediate context of these words 14 and 15. But he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. And it doesn't matter, my friends, if all the heretics of hell rise up to defy the Bible and the Christ of God. If we're assured of what we know out of God's word, then we stand fast. That's it. contextually, the whole continuation has got to do with the assurance that he has in God's word in the face of all the oppositions raised up against God's word at that particular time. And there's so much that ought to move us, so much that ought to impel us. No, the very statement, my friends, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. That means we're not to take this word lightly, not to take it, my friends, in such a manner that we treat it with indifference or put it into some neutral slot in our life so that we'll do the things that we care to do and we'll not bother doing the things that we don't feel like doing. That's not how you treat the Word of God. That's why surely when Paul turns round there and says to Timothy, these are the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The holy scriptures. And my friend, surely our day hasn't become so plagued that we don't understand something of what holy means. And holy means awesome and great and majestic and mighty. And Paul says, Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Need you say anything else than it is these holy scriptures then that bring us to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And isn't it a lovely ascent that Paul makes there? He starts off with witness and testimony. He starts off with the things that thou hast learned. He calls them the holy scriptures. He says they're able to make you wise unto salvation. He's going up and up the mountain all the time until he comes right to the very summit and he says, able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, and then right at the pinnacle, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And the object of our faith is the one who is the subject of all the scriptures from beginning to end. Now let me close. Has the Word of God been communicated to you? Have you learned anything about the scriptures, young person or older person? Communicated. Have you learned it? Now that's something really, that's a privilege, my friends, so that you can rightly say it is a communication that you have enjoyed. But has there yet come that conviction that you've entered into? That these scriptures testify of Christ and bring us to salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. And if that's the case, then pray God that each and every one of us might continue in the things that we have learned and been convinced of. May God enable us to do that, because it is his word given from himself for all the purposes and grace, for the good of our lives now, for his glory and our glory hereafter, through Christ the Saviour.